I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is December 19th, 2010. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic. After publishing my book, Test of Faith, I sent out emails to people who I thought might be interested in reading it. Unfortunately, not everyone on my list agreed with my views. The following email exchange resulted from that advertising. From Gary Amaralt, the Tent Maker. So, is this email a mega spam, or did you pick me out with purpose? Gary, I selected names based on whether I thought they would have an interest in any of the subjects discussed in my book. In your case, I based my decision on the impression I got from your website that you were not a biblical fundamentalist, but a progressive Christian. In my book, the fundamentalists are pretty harsh in their attacks on their fellow Christians. As a former progressive Christian myself, I often come to their defense. His email continues, I used to be a skeptic, an atheist, a pretty nasty one at that, but then the God I was certain did not exist decided to show me how foolish I really was. Neo, I realize as an atheist you have to debunk what I am saying. Not true, Gary. I have no issue with any religious believers who are tolerant of others. My battle is specifically with fundamentalists, mainly Christian and Muslim, who try to force their beliefs on others or who use their beliefs as a justification to hurt other people. He said, you really have no other choice, but it's an arrogant, foolish choice. I do have a choice, Gary. I was a Christian and I chose to reject the evidence offered by Christianity and all other religions. You too had a choice. You were an atheist and chose to believe in the Christian God. Why did you not choose the Muslim God? If you had been raised in the Middle East, you would have. As for your childish insults about arrogance and foolishness, you might want to reread your own Bible, specifically Matthew 5:22. What could possibly be more humiliating than having an atheist quote scripture to a believer? He said, true fundamentalists cause a lot of problems. So do atheists. Look at communism as an example. Gary, Gary, Gary. Communism is a form of government and an economic system. It has nothing to do with religion. That is a common strawman argument used by irrational thinkers who have no evidence for anything they believe. He continues, and despite your protests, you are not a rationalist. Far from it. Gary, how could you possibly know that? You couldn't recognize a rationalist if she walked up and kicked you in the balls. His final comment, science is beginning to prove we are all, and that includes you, liars. Gary, now you are displaying an ignorance that shows that any more time I waste on you is just that, a waste of time. My book cannot help you. You will live out your life praying to invisible ghosts who threaten to torture you forever if you don't believe in them. There is nothing that can be done for people like you. Stay on your knees, worship your bloodthirsty, murdering, torturing ghost, and then die and go to heaven. Here is the tent maker's reply. He begins by quoting my last email. You will live out your life praying to invisible ghosts who threaten to torture you forever if you don't believe in them. There is nothing that can be done for people like you. Stay on your knees, worship your bloodthirsty, murdering, torturing ghost, and then die and go to heaven. And Gary said, see, you proved the article, that you are far from rational. Gary, I didn't waste time reading your article, and being called far from rational by a ghost worshiper is like being called a moron by Paris Hilton. He said, I told you the God I met is the Savior of all mankind. Gary, Muslims delude themselves into believing the same thing. Why should anyone believe you? Is your hell hotter than theirs? He said, "There is no hell. There are no invisible ghosts who threaten to torture forever." Gary, a Christian who hasn't read his Bible, what will they think of next? He said, "Yet in your very irrational mind, you projected such hideous concepts upon me." Wrong, Gary. It was your own scriptures that did that. He said, "Irrational, that's what you are." Gary, name-calling is all you Christians have. Your guns are empty. It's all you've got. He said, "Why don't you believe science since you don't believe me? Try it again." Gary, actually I do believe in science, which is why I don't believe in your ancient book of fairy tales. However, your fairy tales are far grimmer than Grimm's fairy tales. No monster ever described in any literature from any culture on earth can compare to the evil ghost that you not only believe in, but actually worship. Yours in Christ, Neo. Gary responds to my email. He begins by saying, "Take your responses to me to a psychologist." Gary, that's actually a pretty good idea. Even psychologists need cheering up once in a while. He said, "See how rational your responses have been. Gary, you believe in magical ghosts, devils with horns, and angels with wings and halos, and you talk to them. What in the world could you possibly know about rationality? There should be a law against people like you even being allowed to use the word in public." He said, "I argue against fundamentalists all the time." Gary, I find it kind of creepy that we actually agree on something. Maybe I need to reevaluate my position. He said, "They are a piece of cake compared to you. You're every bit as irrational as any fundamentalist or evangelical I've ever come against." Gary, since fundamentalists and evangelicals like yourself believe in a make-believe world of invisible ghosts, how in your devious little mind do you conclude that someone who bases their beliefs on reason and provable science is irrational? You really need to go out and buy a dictionary, but that wouldn't do any good, would it? You already know what the terms mean. Since you don't qualify as rational, your only defense is to accuse others of being irrational as a distraction from the fact that irrational perfectly describes your childish beliefs in your little fairy world. He continues, "Your gatekeeper is a liar. According to a study conducted by Dr. Drew Weston, it appears we have a gatekeeper at the door of our minds, deciding what information we allow in and in what form it should appear." Gary, a perfect description of your own beliefs. Your Bible restricts what information you will accept. Any science which contradicts your Bible, which includes just about all science, must be discarded. He said, "If the information does not line up to certain standards, we either don't let it in or modify it until it conforms to what we already believe." Once again, Gary, I couldn't have described Christianity any better than Weston just did. He said, "Truth and facts are not among those pieces of information that seem to hold much value to this gatekeeper beneath our skull." Gary, it is tragic that you can read this and not even see that it describes you perfectly. He said, "Our minds seem to be inclined to bend the truth in such a way as to make us feel more secure or to conform information to what we already believe or have been programmed or conditioned to believe by our families and societal institutions that mold our values." Gary, there has never been a clearer definition of Christianity. I now see why you quoted this guy. He's great. Gary continues, "The emotional-driven parts of our brain striving for security seem to be more engaged during rationalizing sessions than the rational-logical parts." Gary, in your case, you can just omit the ending about rational and logical parts since you don't possess that module. He said, "After this process is repeated a number of times, our mind becomes hardwired, so to speak, to manipulate information to line up with the little castle of beliefs in our minds that makes us feel secure and comfortable." Gary, the fact that you can be so blind to the fact that he is describing you perfectly illustrates just how devastating religious indoctrination is to minds that base their beliefs on blind faith rather than on evidence. He said, for the sake of convenience and comfort, we become wired to believe the lie. Gary, dude, he is talking about you. He said, usually it takes something catastrophic in our lives to break down the walls of lies which have been built in our minds before the hard truth sees the light of day in our minds. Don't worry, Gary. Your biblical indoctrination has ensured that you are not at risk. The religious mind is capable of withstanding all scientific evidence, logic, and reason in defending itself against reality. He continues, Dr. Drew Weston, director of clinical psychology at Emory University, and a team of psychologists seem to have come up with some hard data proving the old adage, don't confuse me with the facts, my mind is already made up. Gary, rationalists refer to that as confirmation bias. It is a hallmark of religious thinking. Religious thinking. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to throw an oxymoron in there. You're confused enough as it is. His last comment, our minds, based upon Weston's research, are more wired to minimize stress and anxiety for us than being honest to ourselves, others, and even our God. Gary, Weston was doing so well. He ran the entire field and then fumbled at the 1 yard line. In the end, he turned out to be just as deluded as the rest of you ghost worshippers. He, too, failed to realize that he was describing himself. Now Gary responds to that email. And again, he begins by quoting something from my last email. For the sake of convenience and comfort, we become wired and believe the lie. To which I had replied, dude, he means you. Gary now replies, dude, he means all of us, as in including you. Gary, that is why learning critical thinking skills is so important. It is the only way to protect yourself from believing things for which there is no evidence. You know, beliefs like yours. He said, by the way, I'm not an evangelical. You see, you categorize people just like fundies. Gary, everybody categorizes everyone else. It's called thinking. The trick is to categorize correctly. He said there are the innies and the outies, those saved and those not saved. Gary, believing that you have been saved and will spend an eternity in fairyland with an invisible ghost doesn't mean that you actually will. It only means that you believe you will. And after reading the Bible, which reads more like a rap sheet of murder, torture, slavery, and rape, I think I would prefer the alternative location. He said, and you have your own innies and outies. Fundamentalist atheists behave exactly like fundamentalist religionists, whether they be Christian, Jewish, or Muslim, or whatever. Gary, it doesn't surprise me that you can't even tell the difference between people who live in the real world and base their beliefs on provable scientific fact from people who exist in a delusional fantasy realm and don't just believe in, but actually worship a bloodthirsty, murdering ghost. By the way, I'm not the one who determined he is a bloodthirsty, murdering ghost. His own confessions in his autobiography determined that. The fact that you make excuses for his murders, rapes, animal killings, and other crimes doesn't change the fact that he admitted to them. It only means that you are too terrified of him to call him out on it. He said, I'm working on a video dealing with faith and atheists. Gary, those two things go together like oil and water. He said, can you tell me in a short paragraph what you use to determine truth in your life? Gary, I accept as true only those things that have been proven to be true through the application of the scientific method. Those things that have not yet been proven to be true may be true, but until evidence arrives that supports belief in them, I withhold belief. He said, you can use quotes from your favorite skeptic site if you like. Thanks, Gary, but I prefer to do my own thinking. He said, I might even use it in the video. How do you determine truth? Gary, I'm probably the last person you want to have in your video. However, I do wish you luck in your video endeavor. He concludes, P.S. Find for me the shortest and best definition of scientific method, please. Thanks, Gary. See, Gary, there's the problem right there. Years of religious indoctrination has instilled in you a laziness to avoid searching out answers for yourself. You want other people to do your thinking for you. You want a magical book of fairy tales to tell you how to live your life and how to think. You believe ancient manuscripts written by ignorant, itinerant desert nomads have provided you with the answers to the universe. The difference in thinking between rationalists, that would be me, and religious believers, that would be you, is as great as the difference between people and snails. They don't do much thinking either. Gary begins his email reply by quoting me again, where I had said, those things that have not yet been proven to be true may be true, but until evidence arrives that supports belief in them, I withhold belief. And he responds to that comment by saying, sure seems like you've come to a lot of conclusions on things that may be true, yet you have rejected them. Gary, you need to reread my answer and pay closer attention to what I said. I did not say I rejected things that may or may not be true. I said I do not take a position of belief on them until sufficient evidence has been produced to justify belief in them. Irrational and religious minds work in exactly the opposite manner as do rational minds. They accept things as true despite any evidence to support that they are in fact true. His email continues, you know, the man of the century in his day believed our galaxy was the end of the universe. Gary, so what? So did every other scientist on Earth until Hubble discovered other galaxies in the 1920s by using the red shift. Gary continues, my, how wrong he was, one of the so-called brightest. Gary, that was a perfect example of how the irrational mind functions. Or tries to. People who are among the so-called brightest make just as many mistakes as the rest of us. The difference is, the brightest make up for it by their contributions to our civilization. Gary said, and he was a moral degenerate. His son hated him, he constantly cheated on his wife, etc. Gary, you are also describing many of the Catholic clergy and half the politicians. What has any of that got to do with the cost of kumquats in China? Gary said, that doesn't fit into a scientific method. Gary, that has nothing to do with the scientific method. After reading that last statement, I think you are going in the right direction. With a mind like yours, religion is your only option. Gary said, and it doesn't make for quality living. Gary, another non sequitur. Look it up. His final comment, honesty and many other qualities of life don't fit science, they fit heart. Gary, religious people are the last people on earth who should be talking about honesty. Every argument they make is built on deception. I would suggest an introductory logic book, but we both know that in your case, it would be a waste of time. And now Gary replies to that email. He begins by saying, so tell me, is the super snipe sarcasm part of the neo-atheism movement? I don't know, Gary. I don't belong to any movements. He states, it wasn't that bad when I was an atheist. I wanted your definition or your understanding of an acceptable definition of the scientific method, so you wouldn't come back and accuse me of using a false definition. Gary, if you had access to a dictionary, you wouldn't have to worry about false definitions. He said, I wasn't being lazy. I was trying to be generous and rational. Gary, you may succeed at being generous, but I see no hope for you ever becoming rational. Since you seem to be a decent guy, let me give you some advice. Whether you choose to accept or discard it is your choice. Notice how I respond to your emails after many hours or even days of careful thought. I didn't think so. Now notice how you respond to each of my emails. Your replies come back so fast that I know you are reacting with nothing more than pure emotion. Here's something you can do which will help you a lot in the future if you are willing to give it a try. When you receive an email, Go ahead and pour your emotions out just like you do now. Write down the first thing that comes into your mind, just like you do now. But don't hit the send button. Let it sit for a few hours or even a few days. When you come back to it, start reading it from the beginning. I guarantee that you will find things that you want to remove, things you want to add, and things that you want to change. Now, if you are really determined to give it your best, don't hit the send button. Wait another few hours, or even days. Edit it one more time. Again, I assure you that you will find changes to improve your email. This tip will not help you win your religious arguments because they lack supporting evidence to begin with, but they will at least allow you to present a better argument to atheists and non-Christians who aren't particularly skilled in apologetics. Hell, you might even convert one of them. Gary continues, after this discussion, I sure hope you take the time to look over your post to me. There is a lot of anger and frustration in your tone. Very unrational. Gary, what you call anger and frustration, I would call ecstasy bordering on sexual stimulation, which is the feeling I often get when shredding the beliefs of those who cannot prove why they believe. He said, you pretending to be rational should see that, but you don't, do you? Gary, how anyone who worships an invisible, bad-tempered, three-headed ghost can claim to be thinking rationally can only be explained by the fact that so many people are infected, that that behavior is actually considered normal instead of what it is, a mental illness. His final comment, now try again, try to be rational. Give me a definition of scientific method that most of those fundamentalist atheists you hang around with would agree upon. That's really not asking for too much, and it certainly isn't lazy. Gary, now you can try again. Try to find a dictionary, all by yourself. I'm sure that you can even find someone to help you if you ask them nicely. Gary responded to my email, as usual, by quoting something I said. Religious people are the last people on earth who should be talking about honesty. Every argument they make is built on deception. He replies to that by saying, rational? Hardly. Biased? Without a doubt. Gary, it is not biased when the accusation is based on proof. Gary says, according to Dr. Drew Weston, Director of Clinical Psychology at Emory University, both Republicans and Democrats and Neo, the rationalist, came to biased conclusions by ignoring information that could not be rationally discounted. Gary, Weston is a ghost worshiper. He is the last person who has anything to offer anyone regarding rationality. Like you, his beliefs are based on the blind faith acceptance of ancient goat herders and not on provable scientific fact. Gary says, after the subjects had made up their minds, brain activity ceased in the areas that deal with negative emotions, such as disgust, and the activity in areas that involve reward sharply increased, a response that Weston said was similar to an addict getting a fix. There were no increases in the part of the brain that controlled reasoning. Don't worry, Gary. Ghost worshippers do not even have that part of the brain. If they did, they wouldn't be worshipping invisible ghosts. He continues, essentially it appears as if partisans twirl the cognitive kaleidoscope until they get the conclusions they want, and then they get massively reinforced for it with the elimination of the negative emotions and activation of positive ones, according to Drew Weston. Gary, it's too bad Weston is unable to see that he is describing himself. Gary continues, we did not see any increased activation of the parts of the brain normally engaged during reasoning. What we saw instead was a network of emotion circuits lighting up, including circuits hypothesized to be involved in regulating emotion, and circuits known to be involved in resolving conflicts. Now, Gary, try to recall that advice I gave you earlier. You'll be amazed at the results if you actually think about what you are going to say before sending it off to be slaughtered. And now the final email from Gary Amaralt. He begins by saying, You obviously didn't look at the last time you emailed me and when my response was. The fact that you shout through all your emails makes it quite plain that besides being irrational, you're pissed off at something really bad. If you ever decide to get off the misdirect of your anger mode and want to talk about what's really bothering you, I'll listen. But in the state of mind you are presently in, speaking honestly from your heart is quite impossible. There's too much rage steaming through your brains and heart to communicate. Hope you find peace soon. Gary, less than 10 minutes. I went back to my mailbox and checked for your response because I knew that you lacked the mental capacity to take the sound advice I offered you, which was to actually think before you write. You couldn't even wait 10 minutes before hysterically firing off a reply. All input to your brain is routed directly to your emotional control center. You have absolutely no impulse control whatsoever. Few of your responses have dealt with the issues that I have raised. Talking to you is like talking to a wall, but even a wall has more sense than you do. I noticed on the internet that you are even shunned by other Christians who noticed the same thing about you as I did. Your mind is intractable and hopeless. Gary, there's no point in continuing this exchange. You have no interest in, nor are you capable of, intelligent debate. Dealing with you is like arguing with a small child. You can continue to send me emails if you want, but I simply have no more time to waste on someone as hopeless as you when I have far bigger fish to fry. So I will simply delete your emails unopened. You seem to be a well-intentioned individual, just remarkably dense. So I am going to wish you good luck, Gary, because you're going to need it. Signed, Neo. I then bet my friend $1 million that Gary would send a reply anyway. And within a few minutes, I was rich. And no, I didn't read it. And now we move to the science segment. Today's topic, the jellyfish of eternal youth. This jellyfish-like creature has a special talent we would like to have. It is, in effect, immortal. Turritopsis nutricula is capable of rejuvenating itself over and over again. It does so by reverting back to a polyp, the juvenile form, once it mates. Found in warm tropical waters, the creature, a hydrozoan, is the only known animal which can revert completely to its younger self. Its cells transform into different types and it can, theoretically, repeat the cycle indefinitely. Most members of the jellyfish family die after reproducing. It is now the focus of many studies and may help unlock the secrets of eternal, or at least, long life. And now we move to the final segment of the show, Famous Quotes. Continuing with Thomas Jefferson. So I will not give his biography again. I have three more quotes from Thomas Jefferson. The first quote. Ridicule is the only weapon which can be used against unintelligible propositions. Ideas must be distinct before reason can act upon them, and no man ever had a distinct idea of the Trinity. It is the mere abracadabra of the mountebanks calling themselves the priests of Jesus. And now for the second quote from Thomas Jefferson. Shake off all the fears of servile prejudices, under which weak minds are servilely crouched. Fix reason firmly in her seat and call upon her tribunal for every fact and every opinion. Question with boldness even the existence of a God, because if there be one, he must more approve of the homage of reason than that of blindfolded fear. And the final quote from Thomas Jefferson. Christianity is the most perverted system that ever shone on man. That quote might come in handy if you come in contact with someone who tries to claim, as many Christians do, that Thomas Jefferson was a Christian.
Are you ready, Goose? Start walking.